last word on Today
FM. John Gibbons for our weekly environment spot, and I think there's only one thing that we can concentrate on, and that is these dreadful floods in Spain in the Valencia region, which have taken hundreds of lives at this stage. Catastrophic damage. And apparently the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has said that these floods are a harrowing reminder that Europe is unprepared for the consequences of a superheated atmosphere.
Yeah, good evening, madam. I'm afraid that's pretty much spot on. This is probably the worst of event of its kind in Spain in 50 years. And again, as you say, it is directly connected to what we've described there as a superheated atmosphere. There's an awful lot more energy in the system. We know, for example, that the Mediterranean, of course, Valencia banks onto the Mediterranean, and basically temperatures there in late August, sea surface temperatures reached 28.5 degrees. These are record temperatures. And again, that is providing the fuel. This is the ability to absorb more heat energy into the atmosphere. And of course, as we know, the warmer atmosphere is holding more moisture.
Yeah, but you see, what people are going to say is you just said the worst in 50 years. So what would have caused it 50 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, if you look back over time, you'll always get outlier events. So you've heard of the once in 500 year event, the once in 100 year event. This is often where you get a confluence of maybe a high tide or a particular storm system. The real issue with climate change is that these events are becoming more frequent and more dangerous. It isn't nobody's pretending that we haven't had serious weather events in the past. We know that. The issue really is that the background against which they're playing out has changed because of the additional heating of the atmosphere. We've probably added about 1.2, 1.3 degrees centigrade to the overall climate system. And as we've talked about many times in this show, Matt, that has pushed a huge amount of additional thermal energy into the system. We have a much more active hydrological cycle. And when that bumps up against particular meteorological events, which may well have happened in the past, what we're getting now is more severe events, that the atmosphere is loaded more heavily with moisture, and you're more likely to have that come down. We're getting stalling patterns. The jet stream is doing all sorts of hand turns and wobbles. So you get, for example, a rainfall pattern like this, that instead of blowing across in the traditional storm, it stalls, and you get instead millions of litres dropped on a particular area. You may remember very recently we discussed Hurricane Helene in the US, and again it stalled, dropping trillions of gallons of water, like unimaginable quantities. And this is really what we're dealing with. We have a different atmosphere. And on that, Matt,
so there was actually a year's worth of rain in a single day in some parts of Spain.
That's right. And I will say this, right? Preparation for today's slot, I had a look around over the last 2 weeks. This is the last 14 days. We've had severe flooding events in New Mexico, France, multiple in Italy, Spain, Saudi Arabia, Croatia, Oman, Malaysia, Morocco, the Democratic Republic of Congo, 300 dead in Nigeria, and major flooding events in Taiwan. That's in the last 14 days, Matt. This is the critical difference, that what we're now seeing, this is no longer a regionalized event. This isn't just a Europe issue. This is now basically happening pretty much on every continent.
Okay, but this listener says, Spain's problem is poor drainage, no runoff reservoirs, not enough ground cover, etc. It's not climate change, says this listener. Now, even leaving aside climate change, it is climate change, but is there not an argument that to mitigate against what is happening, we can't turn back the clock on the damage that has been done, that countries are going to have to put an enormous amount of money into things like drainage and runoff reservoirs and ground cover, etc.?
I think that's right. And I think, for example, the OPW in Ireland, the planning that they're doing in relation to flood preparation, because remember, the biggest climate vulnerability for Ireland is, of course, severe flooding. So I would imagine the authorities in Ireland, Met Air and OPW and others, are looking with alarm at what's happening in Spain and what's happening across other parts of Europe. Europe, Matt, as we know, is heating at twice the global rate. So we know that the temperature is ratcheting up. Anybody who wants to deny basic physics like that, well, good luck to them, right? We have a much more energetic global atmosphere. That's a simple fact. How that plays out is complex, but we should never hide behind complexity. Let's be straight up about it. These are the impacts. And I think it's incredibly important that we don't fool ourselves about this stuff. And yes, your listener is right. Of course, we need to look at drainage issues. We need, for example, we also need to look at nature-based solutions, for example, in Ireland, to prevent extreme flooding cascading off our mountains and hills and destroying our towns and villages, right? But you find, by the way, as soon as you start to promote these, you get local politicians saying, no, we don't want that. You get vested interest groups, no, we don't want that. I think we're going to need to take a much more serious approach to flood preparedness in Ireland, because it is our number one vulnerability. And the one thing we can say with absolute certainty, Matt, is that these events are going to get more frequent and more severe, and we really have to get ready for them.
One listener, Kevin, says, John Sweeney on The Tonight Show last night said the amount of rain that fell in 36 hours in Middleton and Cork there last year was the same amount that in 1 hour fell on Valencia. That's unimaginable. But what about this World Weather Attribution Group and the assessment it has made in relation to climate change contributing to the 10 deadliest extreme weather events of the past two decades?
That's right. Basically, this is a relatively new science, which again we've spoken about, which allows scientists to run supercomputer modelling to examine a particular meteorological event and overlay the climate fingerprint to establish. Now, in some cases, by the way, there is no climate fingerprint, but what they manage, they examine the 20 most extreme weather events of the last, the 10 events of the last 20 years. And these contributed to over 500,000 deaths, and probably, Matt, a lot more than 500,000. And they found in each of these events there was a climate component that made them more serious. And a particular example that springs to mind, the 2022 heatwave in Europe, which people will remember, there were about 53,500 fatalities. Now, that was increased in its extremity by 17-fold because of the climate signal, and it added an additional 3.6 degrees Celsius on top of already high temperatures. And this is what people need to understand here is, yes, we've always had heat waves. Now we have super heat waves. Yes, we've always had storms. Now we have super storms. That's the critical difference that people really need to get their head around.
Okay. Let's bring in a couple of other things in the time that we've available to us. You want to throw out all black plastic utensils? What's this?
Yeah, this is a funny one. As the man says, this is something completely different, right? This is a study that basically has established that a lot of the kitchen utensils, these black plastic spatulas, I actually found one in our own kitchen press before I came out this afternoon.
Oh, you're guilty too.
I'm afraid so. But they're often made from recycled e-waste. And the reason is, apparently, is that black plastic, it doesn't pick up on the optical scanner. So when they strip e-waste through the optical scanners, the black plastic isn't detected. So it ends up basically being recycled. Now, the issue with this particular, with these particular plastics, is that they contain chemical retardants, right? That they're very useful. For example, if you've got a cable in the back of a computer, it's quite useful to have a fire retardant, a chemical fire retardant in that. It prevents fires and so on in electronic devices when they heat. The problem is, we're now making these spatulas from recycled electronic components with fire retardants in them. Now, these fire retardants, when they're exposed to heat, for example, if you dip it into boiling oil, the chemical retardants leach into the oil. So basically, why does that matter? These are particularly nasty family of chemicals, Matt. They're called endocrine disruptors, which in simple terms mean they mess with human hormonal systems. So they've been associated with thyroid disease, diabetes, and excess levels of cancers. So the message here, by the way, and I think it's very important to give a constructive message here, is you can replace these with steel or silicone spatulas. So those type of kitchen implements that are exposed, essentially, when they're exposed to high temperatures, they leach molecules. Those molecules end up in the food ends up in your gob.
One last thing, because this is the last opportunity we'll have to speak to you before the US presidential election. And I can imagine some of our correspondents who are the big Trump fans and who accuse us of Trump derangement system are going to be apoplectic at this conclusion to your weekly environment spot. But what do you think the consequences for combating climate change, man-made climate change, would be if Donald Trump was to be restored to power in the United States?
I mean, we're already hanging on by a thread. And I think the first thing that Trump and his crew will do is cut that thread. We saw this back in 2017 when a barely organised version of Trump managed to pull the US outside. They took them outside of the IPCC, the intergovernmental process. Now, he simply wasn't organised enough to really destroy climate action. But, for example, his Project 25 plan includes the gutting of things like the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. He also wants to defund primary scientific research. So in other words, the data that we discuss here every week, upon
if
which
it doesn't
we,
exist, yeah, you don't even have to deny it.
This is the sort of the man-child solution to data that you don't like, is to defund the ability of scientists to actually gather that data in the first place. So effectively, from a scientific point of view, it's the equivalent of blocking up your ears and ripping out your eyes.
Noel says, did you hear what that moron who's running for the President of the United States said regarding global warming? He said, well, there'll be more seafront properties, won't there? We're doomed, says Noel.
I'm afraid, yeah. And the seafront property thing doesn't bear thinking about. But on a serious note, I mean, there's lots to dislike about both of these candidates. But if climate and the survival of this particular species is of concern to any of our listeners today, we better hope that Harris gets back in, because at least there's some possibility, Matt, that the Democrats can be held to account through the democratic process. There is no chance with Trump and his Trumpkins.
Thank you very much, John Givens.
The Last Word on Today FM.